A TBM 700 is down in New Jersey. Unions in the U.S. will have a lower hurdle to winning elections. And Delta announces details of its big expansion at LaGuardia. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, December 21st, 2011. The ugly side of holiday travel in winter weather is upon us. A TBM 700 single-engine turboprop crashed in the median on I-287 in Harding, New Jersey at 10:04 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday morning, and all five people aboard were killed. The Washington Post reports the victims included Jeffrey Buckaloo, his wife and two children, and Rakesh Chawla. Buckaloo was the registered owner of the plane and apparently flying it. Buckaloo and Chawla were managing directors of the investment banking firm Greenhill & Company. The five were en route from Teterboro to Georgia. At a news conference, NTSB lead investigator Robert Gretz said the pilot discussed icing conditions with an air traffic controller. NJ.com reports Gretz did not offer any specifics as to how the icing conditions may have affected the aircraft, but said the exchange with ATC was, quote, described to me as not a distress call, but as more of a conversation, unquote. He confirmed that pieces of the aircraft were found in trees in a residential area, but said there are conflicting reports as to whether the aircraft broke up in flight. The New York Daily News reports one wing was found in a tree about a quarter mile from the site of the impact. ATC recordings captured a PIREP from an airliner discussing heavy icing at 17,000 feet. We'll let you know what's in the NTSB's factual report in a few days. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit has upheld new labor rules that make it easier for unions to organize airline employees. The issue has at times stalled a long-term funding bill for the FAA. Under rules put in place last year, unions have only to receive a majority of votes cast in a representation election, not a majority of the total eligible membership. Effectively, the change does away with the assumption that a failure of an eligible employee to vote is counted as if it was a no vote. House Republicans tried to make a return to the previous rules, an amendment to FAA reauthorization. With that issue now settled, the Association of Flight Attendants has commented, quote, "We urge Congress to move forward with a clean, long-term reauthorization of the FAA," unquote. Qantas and the Australian Licensed Aircraft Engineers Association have reached agreement on terms and conditions covering about 1,600 licensed aircraft maintenance engineers through December 31, 2014. The airline and the union submitted the proposal to Fair Work Australia on Monday for consideration. The airline says the agreement includes raises of 3% per year and other non-monetary improvements for workers. CEO Alan Joyce says Qantas is pleased it has maintained the flexibility needed to operate competitively in the global aviation industry. Quote, "After such a damaging industrial campaign, this is a positive outcome that will allow Qantas to move forward with certainty. It does not contain any of the restrictive demands that would have handed control of parts of the airline to the union," unquote. Joyce adds that the arbitration process with pilots and the transport workers union is continuing. Quote, "Our message to customers is that you can continue to book with Qantas with absolute confidence. Irrespective of the time frame for the Fair Work Australia process, the unions are unable to take industrial action for the period of arbitration and determination, which could be up to 4 years," unquote. Delta Airlines has unveiled a schedule for its new domestic hub at New York LaGuardia, and it includes more than 100 new flights and 29 new destinations. The investment will be the largest single expansion by any carrier at LaGuardia in decades. By summer, Delta will operate 264 daily flights between LaGuardia and more than 60 cities, and that's more than any other airline. The additional LaGuardia flights will be available under an agreement between Delta and U.S. Airways to exchange takeoff and landing slots at LaGuardia and Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. Still ahead, the Barefoot Bandit is sentenced to 7 years in state prison. An Ohio couple wins an $11 million settlement in a liability case, and the cost of getting groped at airports will rise in 2012. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, December 21st. I'm Paul Plack. Colton Harris Moore, who became better known as the Barefoot Bandit, has been sentenced to over 7 years in state prison for his 2-year crime spree. He faced a maximum of 10. He still faces federal charges, but is expected to serve any resulting sentence concurrently with his imprisonment by the state. He pleaded guilty to dozens of charges stemming from his run from authorities, which began in Washington State, involved at least 5 stolen airplanes, and ended after he ditched the last one in the Bahamas. The Washington Examiner reports the judge took into account Harris Moore's childhood spent with an alcoholic mother and a string of convict boyfriends when determining the sentence. Judge Vicki Churchill called his story, quote, "a tragedy in many ways, a triumph of human spirit in other ways," unquote. Harris Moore reportedly has been offered a movie deal which will pay $1.3 million in restitution to his victims. He was reportedly apologetic for his crimes and in a letter to the judge said he took full responsibility for his actions. A large verdict in the case of an airplane accident was handed down December 14th by a Philadelphia jury. Dr. Robert Marisco Jr. and his fiancée, Heather Moran, both of Akron, Ohio, were awarded $11.35 million in compensatory damages in an action against Winter Aviation Corporation at Youngstown Warren Regional Airport. The two were flying back to Ohio in Dr. Marisco's Cessna 337, when it developed an engine problem and went down about 10 miles from DeKalb Peachtree Airport in Georgia on August 8, 2007, and caught fire. Both occupants suffered multiple injuries and extensive burns. The plaintiffs successfully sold their allegation that Winter Aviation's shoddy maintenance was responsible for the failure of the rear engine on the Skymaster, which was owned by Dr. Marisco. But the NTSB probable cause report found the primary cause was the failure of Ms. Moran, who was flying the plane, to use full power on the remaining engine to maintain altitude. The board found she'd maintained 33 inches of manifold pressure, not enough to hold altitude, when the manual allows up to 37 inches at redline RPM with no time limit. The board said the higher power setting would have provided the ability to climb at 290 feet per minute, saving the couple from the need to land at a water treatment plant, which ended in the crash and fire. NTSB findings are not allowed as evidence in civil trials. A measure to fund TSA at $7.8 billion next year is pending in the U.S. Senate. The House passed it on Friday. That's an increase of $153 million over the 2011 appropriation, but $274 million less than requested by President Obama, according to USA Today. The president wanted an increase in the airport security fee of $2.50 per leg to $5 each way as a means of funding the agency, with further increases to $7.50 each way over the next 5 years. Airlines fought the jump, arguing it was more about deficit reduction than security costs. The bill requires the Department of Homeland Security to brief relevant committees on proposed trusted traveler programs by mid-February and twice a year on cargo screening. It also says the agency should consider privacy and civil liberties in new security measures and caps the number of full-time screeners at its current 46,000. And finally today, the Earth's shifting magnetic core has necessitated the renumbering of the runways at Jacksonville International Airport in Florida. The main runway at JAX is now designated runway 826, while the secondary is now 1432. Geologists say the magnetic pole shifts about 1 degree every 10 years as the Earth's crust floats on a molten layer around the solid core. Runway renumbering usually comes when the variation reaches 5 degrees or more from the previous designation. The cost of the change at Jacksonville was about $20,000. Tampa International changed its runway numbers almost a year ago, and Naval Air Station Jacksonville renumbered its runways in 2010, according to a report in the Florida Times-Union. But changing numbers painted on the runway pavement may be the easy and cheap part of all this. Imagine making an annual flight on Christmas Eve and finding when you get back home the next day in hard IFR that the North Pole, your home, and your shop are not where you left them. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.